Good morning. We are so pleased to launch Spiritual Renewal Chapels and events this week with Anton Flores Maisonet from Casa Alterna. I'll share a little more about that later on. We're going to open with Praise, a song from Alpha Omega Dancers for Christ, a dance from them, a song from someone else, Worthy is the Lamb. It's a song that they led with as they hosted worship right here in Lehman Auditorium Sunday evening with groups from various other places, an evening of liturgical worship. And before they come out, let us open this series with this invocation. Our theme today is Love Crosses Borders. So pray with me to God, our God of love. God of love, light a flame of love in our hearts to you, a flame of love to our families and friends, a flame of love to our neighbors, a flame of love to our enemies. Light a flame of love in our hearts to all, from the lowliest thing that lives to the name that is highest of all. Amen. Let us open with praise, music, and dance.
Thank you for God's love.
So on Sunday evening, the place was filled with other groups and gospel choirs and such joining Alpha Omega for the first hopefully annual service of liturgical dance and liturgical worship. And it was marvelous for those of us who were here. Indeed, our love is grounded in the faithfulness of Jesus and the sacrificial love of God. And we're going to be talking about that today, but in a very different context, between humans, between communities, between neighborhoods, cultures. Love crosses borders. Anton Flores Maisonet is co-founder of Casa Alterna, a hospitality house in Georgia devoted to faithful acts of mercy and justice alongside its Latinx neighbors. Casa Alterna serves as a hub for connecting and empowering neighbors via tutoring, community organizing, and popular education. Because of Anton's prophetic advocacy and tireless solidarity, he's been honored by two Spanish-language Atlanta-based newspapers as their respective Person of the Year. Additionally, Alterna was named Organization of the Year by Mundo Hispanico, the largest Spanish-language newspaper in Atlanta. Anton Flores Maisonet holds degrees in social work from Georgia State University and the University of Georgia. And to share just a little bit more, he and his family moved to LaGrange, Georgia, as he took a professor position in social work at the college there, and then I think realized that his calling was in the community, in the streets, in the neighborhood, and he's been practicing this faith-inspired justice ever since. One of the things that the Alterna community does, or Casa Alterna, is host spring break groups. And YServe and Campus Ministries have sent groups there at least twice before, and we're going again this spring. And so one of the things we want to do is launch some interest in spring break trips this week. Thursday night, YServe will host an evening where Anton will share about what could happen there in LaGrange over spring break. And also we'll hear from the fall break, sharing with Appalachian People group, some of them at least, thinking about spring break. The passage that Love Crosses Borders is grounded in comes from our many parts, one body theme. Romans 12, verses 12 to 13. It's very short. Listen. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Anton, come and share with us, and let's welcome him to EMU for these 3 days.
We're so glad you're here. It is a privilege to be here and be back here at Eastern Mennonite University. And I want to start with just a little song reflection, because I'm realizing that although for weeks this was the theme, none of us knew that that the horrendous acts that transpired yesterday in my birthplace of New York City would be on the heels of this. And so to talk about love crossing borders at a time when I know that in the media and in our political realm, it won't take very long, given that the suspect was an Uzbeki national, that we'll be talking again about bans and borders. And so I'm mindful of the loss. This has been a season of heavy loss for our family and for our community. And so I'm mindful of what it means to have loss. But I'm also mindful of the fact that we're still called to be people of hope. So I wanted to sing a song that I wrote actually for a child who grew up in the foster care system in Georgia and lived with our family early in our marriage. And would love to say that things turned out great for him. He is now about 19 years old and has already been convicted of 2 felonies. But this song is still a song of enduring hope in the midst of both suffering and fear. There's enough love to go around this world today. Some say it's the end, it's the beginning, I say. So don't hang your head low. Just look up to the sky, because everything is gonna be all right. Yes, everything is gonna be all right. I know there are times when life can seem so hard and you wonder, where in this world is God? But let me say, when the pains of life are great, there's a love that's greater still. There's enough love to go around this world today. Some say it's the end, it's the beginning, I say. So don't hang your head low. Just look up to the sky, because everything is gonna be all right. Yes, everything is gonna be all right. When fear grabs your soul and you retreat in hate, there's a voice telling you to trust and wait. Just say a prayer, for in your darkest hour, there's a love that'll be your power. There's enough love to go around this world today. Some say it's the end, it's the beginning, I say. So don't hang your head low. Just look up to the sky, because everything is gonna be all right. Yes, everything is gonna be all right. Hope is not a pie in the sky acclamation that just everything is going to be all right. We know that for the families in New York City yesterday, that everything is never going to be the same. But we also know that when we face the fears that want to erect walls around our hearts and around our souls and around our borders and in our neighborhoods, that when we can confront those fears and realize the only lasting thing we have is love. The only enduring thing we have is love. It doesn't mean that we don't carry the scars of our wounds, but it means we know that there is a redemption and a hope that makes, in the end, everything all right. And I don't mean everything in the end as in some otherworldly place, but I mean that we can carry these wounds with us and be agents of healing. Some of you were here when we were showing a video that was taken about a year and a half ago. I didn't have a beard in that image, but it was me. And it was about a year and a half ago, and I had three young individuals, two college students and one recent college grad come, and we spent the summer in Guatemala in our sister community. I want to tell you a little bit about that sister community and how I was first introduced to this opportunity of crossing a border. I live in LaGrange, a town of 30,000 folks in central Georgia. Small town. Not a large number of Latino immigrants. My family is originally from Puerto Rico. And I always had this question about my identity as a Latino person growing up in the South. I'm a social worker by profession and began attending a Spanish language church. where it just so happened that about 90% of the folks there happened to be undocumented. But inside the walls of this church, they weren't called illegals or wetbacks or any of the derogatory terms that we use, but instead we referred to one another as hermano y hermana, brother and sister. Well, one of my hermanos, a young man about 21 years old named Alessandro, had been working in one of our cabinetry factories, and while working there with this dangerous equipment, actually lost four of his fingers in an accident. Wasn't able to work, but was still devoted to his pastime, his religion, soccer. And so one weekend while playing soccer, he fell and used that same hand to try to break his fall, but instead of breaking his fall, he broke his wrist. But didn't go seek medical attention. He didn't have documents, he didn't have insurance, he didn't have a job. And for weeks, he languished with this agonizing injury. Long story short, I meet him and I intervene and I connect him with an orthopedic surgeon acquaintance of mine who agrees to perform the kind of a humanitarian surgery at a very, very, very low price. And Alessandro is very appreciative and I tell him, hey, listen, I'm going to be going to Guatemala. I serve at the Latin American Anabaptist Seminary in the city, and they give us a week off, and I would love to visit your family if that would be possible. And his eyes got open, wide open, and he was so excited that I would actually want to go visit his extended family, his parents and his siblings, who he hadn't seen for years. Little did I know that just that one little question that was going to require me to go against the cultural grain. It's almost like in the story of Jesus, when it talks about how Jesus and the disciples were traveling, and yet Jesus, it says in John 4, says, but he had to go through Samaria. See, culturally, Jews and Samaritans didn't interact, and so culturally he would have taken gone around Samaria, a journey that would have taken extra days, but he never would have gone through that neighborhood. And fear was so etched into culture that you didn't even question the why, you just didn't do it. And so without me even thinking about it, I mean, I'm going to go be serving at this Mennonite Seminary in Guatemala. This is a friend of mine. I've just done a significant thing. It made me feel good to help him with a true injury and a pain. I'm a curious adventurer, explorer, traveler. Why not go off the beaten path and meet his family? Little did I know that I had to go to El Sauce. Get to the bottom of this mountain in the Cuchumatanes. It's this coffee-growing region, and everyone there has a Toyota truck. My wife and I, Charlotte and I, just moved, actually. We've been living in LaGrange for well over 2 decades, but we just moved 2 months ago into an entirely Latino neighborhood. It's a little cul-de-sac, 30 families, working poor families. We pay $475 a month to live with our neighbors and live in solidarity with them, and it's about 90% all Guatemalans, and I'm feeling a little out of place. I mean, in the States, we talk about keeping up with the Joneses. I feel like I need to keep up with the Martinezes because they all have Toyota Tacoma trucks or Toyota 4Runners. And I do drive a Toyota, but it's a little 1999 Toyota Camry. It just doesn't feel the same. So, I'm feeling that peer pressure to keep up with them. But the reason why is because all of these folks are from that same region of Guatemala that I travel to, and you need a four-wheel drive to get up there, but they're industrious, they're smart, so they all have the same truck because once you know how to fix one, you know how to fix them all, and once you know how to get parts for one, it's easier to get parts for all of them or move parts from one vehicle to the other. And so it's a big, feat in our community when the immigrant can buy his first or her first Toyota Tacoma 4 or 4Runner, and when they can send it home. That's like a major milestone in their bucket list of being a migrant. And so it's rainy season in July in Guatemala, and and they pick us up at the bottom of the mountain, and it's me and my wife and our small, two small children. I mean, they were very small at the time, and we're trusting them going up these dirt roads. It won't surprise you that years later, the first collaborative project we do is road improvement, because it was super scary going up these dirt, single-track mountain roads where you must have four-wheel drive to get up, and it was dark, and it was pouring down rain. And we just stayed for a half a day and just for a visit, but we're smothered with hospitality and love. You know, we like to think that at Alterna that our charism, that our vocation is hospitality, but the honest thing is that we're just trying to catch up on all the ways in which people who live on the margins of our society, when we cross those borders, the way in which they shower us with so much welcome and love and hospitality. You know, like I said, the 2 months that I have moved into this one little neighborhood, again, from the same town, but as we continue to move farther and farther away from the center of empire and farther closer to the center of the heart of God, I think we've only had to cook a meal twice in the last 2 months because we have tamales still in our refrigerator waiting for us to eat. We have neighbors inviting us over for chuchitos. And that all happened because I decided that one day I would help someone in my community, and then I would ask that person, do you think your family would welcome me? Do you think they would welcome me, the stranger? Fear erects walls in our hearts, in our soul, on our borders, in our gated neighborhoods, in our alarm system protected houses. But love, the source of that ontological hope that doesn't make sense, that says somehow, some way, what happened yesterday can be made right, that somehow, some way, the fears that entrap all of us can be made right. And it doesn't come because we come with some American exceptionalism or some type of little messianic complex where we think that we bring a gospel that transforms, but that instead that we engage in a gospel that transforms all of us. When Jesus traveled into Samaria, notice, Jesus didn't come in saying, you know what, I'm going to make these Samaritans feel like they are somebody because I've got this great message. No, he approaches this woman who is marginalized in every way imaginable. And his first words are from his own place of need. The Jesus who models for us how we are to live. When he crosses a border that he was socially customized to be afraid of and to avoid, he enters in out of a place of vulnerability. And he says to the woman, give me something to drink. See, it said earlier in the text that he was worn out, that he was tired. And so it was from that place. From that place of need that Jesus reaches out. As I stated, and I'll talk more about it in the chapel at the seminary, but this has been a year for my family and for our community of searing, searing loss. But it's through our losses and through our wounds and through our vulnerabilities, and through our thirsting, that we find living water. And I'm certain that living water is always on the other side of whatever border our fears and our hatred construct. It is always on the other side of our fears and hatred. The neighborhood that we live in historically was called Goose Holler. It's in the quadrant of our town that is the wealthiest, whitest quadrant of our town. And we have a very segregated town. We have schools that now are classified as apartheid schools, right, where you have 98% of one race And we have, so we have schools that are like 98% white, 98% African American. And we live in the wealthiest, whitest quadrant. But I told you that our little cul-de-sac is 100% working poor Latino immigrants, except for my wife. We live in townhouses that were built to be student housing. It's just a block away from our private Methodist college in our town. But before it was ever that, it was a little African-American shanty community enclave of domestic servants slash descendants of freed slaves. And I have a friend who's in her 70s, and she said, "You know what? I grew up on the parallel street, on the street right behind it, and we were never allowed to cross the fence that divided us, the border. We were never allowed, and those kids in the neighborhood where you're living now, they used to get bused to the east side of town to go to school, and we were never allowed to play with them," but she said, "I was always mystified by them." And I'd go in the backyard as a small child, and I'd see them, and they'd be out, and they'd be playing, and they'd be running around playing. And you'd see the chickens running around. And in that little holler, you would see people growing corn and food. They always seemed so full of life, my friend recently told me. Land has an interesting way of keeping a historical memory, because I asked my friend, I said, "You're talking about like the 1950s? I said, "Are you sure? Because it sounds like you're talking about today." Because in our little cul-de-sac of 30 households, we have over 50 children under the age of 13. And in the afternoon, they're outside playing, and our neighbors have chickens and roosters and turkeys, and they're out and about, and they're growing melons and corn. The land isn't forgetting. And the land is still inviting us to cross borders. I once took a cross-sectional photo of the border of U.S. and Mexico. And for those who are going to do songs, this is going to be my closing. I took this cross-sectional photo of the wall. It was not complete, so I was able to straddle what we call the U.S. and what we call Mexico and take this cross-sectional thing. And what's really interesting is that just from that cross-sectional photo, you can tell which side is the United States and which side is Mexico, just right there, based on technology and man-made items. So security lights on the U.S. side, paved road on the U.S. side, still natural topography on the Mexico side. But if you took away everything that was human-made, all you would see is just, you know, one land. We have to decide. Not which side are we on. Not us versus them. But hope versus despair, fear versus love. And in these days when maybe we need to be fasting from our media and our technology, because we are going to get bombarded with messages of fear, of hatred, of Islamophobia, and what we need to do as Christ followers, say, "Jesus, you had to go to Samaria. Where is the Samaria where I have to go?" Let's pray. Jesus, the incarnation is you crossing borders in love. It is you having to come and take on the form of not just a human, but that of a servant. And yet you ask us to take up our crosses and follow you. We don't like crosses. We like entertainment. We like escapism. We like comfort. Your discipleship is too costly. And yet we know that when we hide ourselves in fear, we isolate ourselves from one another, from you, and from ourselves. And that despondency is not what you have called us to settle for. And so renew us with your hope. Empower us by your Spirit to cross borders with love. Amen.
I'm going to respond to that with song. And just a reminder, these are 40-minute chapels this week. Third period class begins at 10:50. That's the official word from the Academic Dean's Office and Campus Ministries. So let's continue with this response, and then we'll go in peace.
Turn with us to number 60 in the Sing the Journey book, the purple Sing the Journey. Turn to number 60. Sing the story, yeah, sing the story, the purple book, sorry.
Anton's with us throughout the week, engaging in various ways later today in a few classes through the week, speaking at the seminary for chapel gathering at 11. That one is called the Trauma-Informed Healer. That's tomorrow. And also tomorrow is the lunch conversation. It's continuing today's focus. Instead of love crosses borders, we're going to engage the idea of inventive hospitality. And then also Friday, right back here in this chapel, love from the center of who you are. We encourage you to drink deeply from the opportunity to worship with and learn from and with Anton and each other. Go in peace in God's amazing love.